Psalm 46, and we shall read from the beginning. Psalm 46, from the beginning, to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Verse 4, especially this evening, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. This psalm speaks of the protection God gives his church. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He is a present help, he is a proven help. He has been found exceedingly to be the help of his people. God's people have discovered this. They have seen God. They have experienced God as their help and their refuge and strength. And because of this, even though the world seems to be crumbling and mountains crashing into the sea, the psalmist says, we will not be afraid. We will not fear anything when God is near, a present help. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Verse 5. In fact, not only does God give protection to his people, but he gives them peace so that they can be without fear. He gives them peace. He gives joy. He gives comfort. He gives his favor and blessing, just like a river peacefully flowing through a city and refreshing the people that live in the city. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. So the Lord, by his presence, gives comfort to his people. He gives relief. He gives spiritual refreshing to the inhabitants of the spiritual Jerusalem, the city of God, and that is the church. And with the Lord's help this evening, we'll notice, first of all, the city of God. And then secondly, the tabernacles of the Most High. And thirdly, the river that makes glad the city of God. There is a river that the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. First of all, the city, and then the tabernacles, and then the river. Well, the church is compared to a city, the city of God. The church is compared to a city, especially to the city of Jerusalem, or we might rather say that the city is referring to Jerusalem in the first instance. The city of God is what may be called the earthly residence of God, the center of the theocracy, that is Israel, the people who were ruled by God himself. And it was called the city of God because God was there. God's presence was manifest there. God is in the midst of her, verse 5, in the midst to protect and to honor the church. And God is in the midst of his people. And we read in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, that a very comforting verse, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. And so the reason that the city is so blessed and so honorable is because God is in the midst of her, the city of God. And you know, David speaks of the city of God. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, substantial and strong, consisting of living stones. When you think of what Jerusalem represented the city of God, that is, the inhabitants of the city, God's dear people, living stones made strong by the Lord, and we might say cemented together by the mortar of union with Christ through faith and love. They are united. God's people are united in the city of God, united to Christ in effectual calling, and united to one another by love and the desire to have peace, maintaining or keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so this is a city that is flourishing, a city that is thriving. Of course, that's the ideal city. And that is what is the prospect of the city. This is what God's people desire, to be a city that is flourishing, prospering spiritually, fruitful, honoring the maker of the city, and that is Christ. Well, let's just ask ourselves and whether we ourselves are among the inhabitants of the spiritual Jerusalem. Are we among the citizens that make up this city? There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Are we in the city of God? Are we among the citizens? Are we members of Christ? Are we among the living stones, among the living that are written in Jerusalem? Glorious things are spoken of this city, we just sang. And are we citizens, inhabitants of the city? Well, do we have faith and love? Are we trusting in Christ alone for salvation? Is Christ precious to us? Is sin bitter to us? Do we have the evidences of real saving grace? This is a question that each of us has to answer in our own consciences. We need to ask ourselves, are we born again? Do we have life in our souls so that we're living stones and we're being more and more polished and made honorable by the Holy Spirit? Do we love Christ? Do we desire to obey him? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Is there a desire to keep the commandments, which is the real evidence of love? Questions that we have to ponder, questions by which we must examine ourselves. We can talk together personally, but we cannot open up your heart and see what's inside you. You have to examine yourself, whether you're one of God's children, one of the members of the household of faith. And do we, by examination, desire to seek the good of the church? Remember, David says, I will seek thy good always. He desired to promote the interests of the cause of Christ and to seek the welfare of the people of God. For his friends and his brethren's sakes, he will do good for them. I will seek thy good always. Well, we also read of the tabernacles of the Most High, and this is very similar, but it, of course it is all with spiritual significance. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. In the second place, the tabernacles of the Most High. The holy place was within the city, and the tabernacles were very much the same as the holy place. We should say the holy place was within the tabernacles, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. The holy place is probably referring to the temple. It is the place that is made holy because of God's presence. The holy place is the place that was made holy because God was there. God was in the midst of his people, and that's why it's a holy place. Speaking of the temple, and it's the holy city. God's people are to be a holy people, and they are holy by being set apart for God and by the ongoing work of sanctification by the Spirit. Well, think of this: the tabernacles of the Most High. The word tabernacle comes from the root meaning to dwell. God is with his people. He's dwelling among them. And that's why it's called the tabernacles of the Most High, because God was with his people, dwelling among them. And think of that, the Most High, dwelling with the lowly, condescending to manifest his presence amongst the inhabitants of the earth. The people who were like you and me, formed of the dust of the earth, God is with them. God is manifesting his presence to them. This divine name, the Most High, is, of course, showing God's superiority over all other beings. He is the Most High. There are high beings. The civil magistrate is in a high office. The angels are high above man in terms of rank and order, at least in power. But God is the Most High. God is the Most High. And yet he dwells with his people. And the greatest evidence of God dwelling among us is, of course, Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. He dwelt, the Apostle John says, literally tabernacled among us. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt or tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory. Have you beheld the glory of Christ, and is it a marvel and a wonder to you that God dwelt among men? God manifest in the flesh. You see, we hear these things so often that we just get so used to it and it doesn't impress us like it should. But to be stunned and amazed, God manifest in the flesh, our Creator, clothed with human nature, astonishing. We should be in amazement when we get a glimpse of Christ and the glory of him humbling himself. That his humbling himself is his glory. Glorious thing for Christ to come and dwell among people like you and me. How astonishing that Christ submitted to being born of a virgin and being laid in a manger and visited by shepherds. And he dwelt among men and suffered all the indignities of the world. But it was God with us, God with us. And let us not forget before we pass on that the tabernacles of the Most High are pointing us to the fact that even God's people are temples of the Holy Ghost. Or quoting more accurately the apostle, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own?" So believers, the church, are the temple of the Holy Spirit, for a habitation of God. Believers are a habitation of God by the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit dwells in God's people. It is for their comfort and for their joy. As the Lord Jesus said, that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, shall dwell up with you and be in you. And this is for the comfort of God's people. Think of that. God's people, they have the Spirit. God is dwelling among them. God is in the midst of her. The city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. So God is with his people, dwelling among them, and believers have this great privilege of being members of the household of faith. And one of the great privileges which they enjoy is that they enjoy the refreshing presence of God. And that is symbolized by this river flowing through the city of God. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. And that brings us to the third point, and that is the river that makes glad. The river that makes glad the city of God. The river, of course, is a picture of the source of life. Rivers irrigate fields so that the crops flourish. Rivers provide sources of water for whole cities, and so for the city of God. And you see a great difference, a great contrast between the turbulent waters of the sea that the psalmist is speaking of, which is a picture of the masses in all their tumult and commotion, and here the river of God, the river that is in the city of God, making glad the city of God, a calm, peaceful, flowing river. The Lord is showing us his love and his care for his people, and it's seen all the more clearly from the background of the world's tumultuous waves. We've got the picture of all the chaos and convulsions of the world, and now we have the picture of the sweetly flowing river in the city of God. And of course, the river is a picture of God being the source of life to his people, just as he is their creator, and he gives to all life and breath and all things. And so he gives spiritual life to believers. And if we are in Christ, then God is our Savior, giving us spiritual life. And believers, drink of this river. That river is the fountain of life. Psalm 36, verse 8, "Thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures, for with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light." Spiritual life. God gives a new heart, and he puts his own spirit in the soul. Have you experienced this? Have you been made to drink of the river of God's pleasures, to receive life from the fountain of life? There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. All of God's people, temples of the Holy Ghost, tabernacles for God to dwell in and among his people, they have as the source of life, this river of life flowing through and among them. And the Lord Jesus himself says that he that believes in him, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The source of life is within. God gives the Spirit, and he abides in his people. And here is the great blessing of the favor of God. And perhaps that's what the river is illustrating in a very clear way, the favor of God, the grace of God. No blessing on earth can be compared to the favor of God. To know that God is gracious to us, that he loves us, to know that God cares for us, that his blessing rests upon us. Friends, that is worth more than worlds. And the child of God can say that. I would rather have the favor of God and very little of this world than have all the riches of this world without the favor of God. I would rather have the love of God than anything that the world can offer. What a blessing. A river. There is a river. There really is. And this is what we should prize above all. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Does this describe you? Do you value this? Are you saying with the psalmist, in his favor is life? This is the source of my life and joy, the favor of God, the love of God. That his loving kindness is better than life. His loving kindness, his grace, his favor is better than any kind of life on earth apart from God. Nothing in this world can compare with the favor of God. Now, what is the precise meaning? Well, some have said that the river is the scriptures. Others suggest that it is the ordinances of God's house. Others say that the river is the graces and consolations of the Spirit. And others have suggested that it is the mercy of God. But Probably this is a symbol that comprehends all by which God manifests his favor, everything by which God reveals and shows forth and communicates his favor to his people, the church. As one commentator has summarized, the streams of spiritual blessings flowing from God through Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost make glad the city of God continually. The streams of spiritual blessings, that's what it is. Streams of spiritual blessings, and all flowing from God, purchased by Christ, and coming to us by the power and working of the Holy Spirit among the church, among the members of the church of God. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. And all these spiritual blessings flowing into the souls of believers, and all to make them glad. It's a river that's unending. It's not like a pond, a stagnant pool that will just dry up when the sun is beating down. It's not even like a temporal river that ancient officials of cities would be very concerned about, that the enemy forces would come and divert the river and channel it in a different direction, and then all the inhabitants of the city would be without water. But no, this is a river that will never go dry, continually flowing through the city of God. It's a river, the streams, plural, whereof shall make glad the city of God. And of course, that brings before us the variety of spiritual blessings and the fullness of the favor of God. The church enjoys unmerited favor, the free favor of God. And the fact that the blessings are free gladdens the heart. We cannot purchase these blessings. They are freely given and freely received. This rejoices the heart. There's hope for the poor, downcast believer who feels guilty, failing, sinning. But the blessings are freely received. And there's such a variety: forgiveness by the blood of Christ, acceptance in the Beloved, adoption into the family of God, having a right to all the privileges of the sons of God, regeneration, the powerful operation of the Holy Spirit, so that believers have eyes to see the loveliness of Christ. They have been made willing in a day of his power. Sanctification, being purified within. And again, the Holy Spirit himself, the Comforter, making glad the city, the city of God, and the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High, and all the outward evidences of God's love as well, the means of grace, the instruments that God employs for the comfort and blessedness of his house, the ordinances and the office bearers, ministers, elders, deacons who have the oversight for support, for comfort, to care for God's people. That's what they are there for, pastoral care. And the communion that believers enjoy with Christ and his people, what great variety! The streams whereof make glad the city of God. And because of this variety, there is a fullness. It ensures that God's people are filled to overflowing. Can they count all the blessings? Can they measure the worth of the spiritual privileges that they enjoy? No, they cannot. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, David says. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. It's overflowing. If we had eyes half open to see, we look at the glass and we see it's half empty. No, it's because our eyes are half closed. Open our eyes and see that the cup is overflowing. There is a city, there is a river that the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, making glad. If we could just but see it better, more clearly, and open our mouths more widely, and God will fill it, and God will replenish his people again and anew. making his people glad. Glad when they get a sight of Christ. When he is near, and he is near, he's present. If their eyes would be but open, like he did open the eyes of the two on the road to Emmaus, and finally they knew him. It was Christ. And their hearts were burning within them. And then they reported that they had seen Jesus and the other disciples. They had seen him too. The Lord has risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. Then Jesus himself manifested his presence to them. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. The Lord is with his people. And that's why they are glad. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And doesn't that promise make us glad? As he has promised to give the Spirit, though he himself is not physically present with his people, he's present by his Spirit. Doesn't that make us glad? Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Oh, friend, in his favor is life. Do you desire to taste and drink of the rivers of his pleasure? Are you praying for this? Are you praying that the rivers and the streams would flow right into your own soul? He is able to do this for you. He's able to pour into your heart the blessing. You say it's impossible. Don't be unbelieving. It's not impossible. All things are possible to him that believeth. Open your mouth wide and he will fill it. Open your eyes and you will see it. And pray that he would open your eyes and he would open your mouth and taste and see that God is good. Who trusts in him is blessed. He invites you again. If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. Come to him for joy and happiness, and come to him for lasting peace. Come to Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Don't forget that sin is the greatest evil, and I pray that your eyes will be open to see that. And when your sins are forgiven, and when you receive grace so that sins are subdued, then you'll be happy. You'll never be truly happy until Christ is your Savior. And until then, you can rest assured all other happiness is fleeing away. But when you have Christ, you know that the best is yet to come, and he will fill you to overflowing. Only come and look to Christ and receive him and all spiritual good with him, and life that shall never end. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. May he bless his word. Let us pray.